Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Destructo Discourse. This is episode 7. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I am your host, Tyler. This evening I am joined by Gordy.
Hey.
Jason.
Hello.
Matt.
Hi.
And a newcomer to the program this evening, we have Melissa.
Hello.
Hey, Melissa, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
It's been a long time coming.
6 episodes worth.
You've been keeping track of our ramblings in the back end for a while and trying to find a time to get you in, and I'm glad that we got to work out this week.
Yeah, me too.
What, if any, is your familiarity with Dragon Ball Z?
I watched Dragon Ball Z in bits and pieces on Cartoon Network when it was on, and I missed a lot according to what I've been watching so far. Mostly I've seen the end of the Vegeta fight stuff a lot. I mostly, of course, watched the Ocean dub, like I think most people did.
Yeah.
And then there was a public access channel that would run one of like 3 episodes from that run in raw Japanese.
Really?
Yeah. So there was a few episodes that I saw uncensored, unsubtitled in Japanese.
Nice.
That must be a very bizarre and alien lens with which to like see this show.
Yeah. It was bonkers and kind of gave me a view into how much
Just how different.
Yeah, how much anime of the 90s was being censored.
Yeah. Now, Melissa, why did you want to join us on this show?
Well, Tyler, because I love cartoons and anime, and I'm here to point out times in anime when Sailor Moon did it better.
All right. Do.
I am excited now.
I'm interested in pitting the Z fighters against Sailor Moon and seeing what happens.
Against the scouts.
You're pitting my 5 o'clock show against my 4 o'clock show.
Yeah. Now,
I was going to say, didn't they air one right after the other?
Yep.
Sometimes, yeah.
Could the Sailor Squad have done it better?
Mm-hmm.
How would they fight the Saiyans?
Now, see, I noticed on your first episode you do have that little explicit E there, so I'm not sure content-wise.
Go ahead with all your fucks and your shits.
Say your good cuss words. All your coolest cusses.
There is a Sailor Moon Dragon Ball crossover if you go to the adult section of the video store.
I think there are two
that
of them.
Does exist.
I think I remember, like, there was some Hustler Hollywood that I went to when I was like 19 or something.
It was called Sailor Moon and the 7 Dragon Balls?
I think it was just Sailor and the 7 Balls.
Yeah.
Oh my god. 7? That means someone's missing something.
Or somebody's very well endowed.
For this show, we watch 3 episodes per podcast recording so that we can get through the series at a good clip.
In only 2 years.
Yep, that's the goal, because we are going to watch all of Dragon Ball Z, filler included.
Dream big.
This week, we are watching episodes 19, 20, and 21. Episode 19, the English title is Defying Gravity. Jason, do you have the Japanese title?
Literal name is The Battle with Gravity. Catch Bubbles.
So if you care to find him, he's training with King Kai. As someone told me lately, everyone ripped off Tien to fly.
Is that
the episode
all you got?
Begins with Bubbles still doing his thing, just monkey stuff, and Goku mimicking along, more or less where we left off last time. King Kai appears to warp outside. I don't know if anybody else caught that.
Yeah.
It shows a shot of him in the house, and then he's suddenly just outside, away from the house.
He has mastery over all space here.
He does have a lot of powers that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm. And when he shows up, he will not abide any of this clownery.
He informs Goku that Bubbles is his favorite monkey, which I thought was weird.
of all the monkeys he possesses.
Like, not my pet or my friend. This is my favorite monkey.
My favorite one.
And we learn a little bit about his quirks in that King Kai is very fond of jokes.
The worse the joke, the better.
He agrees to train Goku on one condition, that being that Goku can make him laugh with a joke.
Now, you're using the word joke here.
It's a liberal definition.
I mean, his first attempt is one of the best things I've ever heard.
It's literally the hardest I've laughed at this show so far.
What was it again?
I think he just says it in his head, but he's trying to think of a joke, and he goes,
"Knock, knock, who's there? Trillin'. No, think, think."
Like, he knows the format, and he just thinks of a person he knows who might be at his door.
That's all you need.
Granted, I have familiarity with Krillin, and maybe King Kai does not, but that joke slayed me.
That was the best, like, he does his little, like, tight five right after that, but that was the best one.
Yeah, it's true.
They are in the, I don't know if anybody else watched the Japanese version.
No, hit us with some of the original jokes.
So they're all, like, play on word puns. In the Japanese version, like, he, when he comes out and, like, the animation is of him, like, scratching his back, kind of.
I was wondering what that was about.
Yeah, he's saying, like, that he's itchy, and then there's mosquitoes, and then the Japanese word for mosquito turns into his name.
Ah, so tricky.
Like, a pun on his name. When he does the answer the phone thing, he answers the phone and then says... These play on words in Japanese because there's a lot of words that you can say that mean other things. And so putting them together is very funny. So he answers the phone and says, "Futon ga futonda," which means my futon flew away.
Meanwhile, in the English version, he just stole, I think it was an Abbott Costello bit.
Yeah, it was where he just goes, "You don't say, you don't say."
He
didn't say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering what the original Japanese was going to be, because I feel like in a lot of shows, anime and stuff like, I see it a lot in Sentai too, in Kamen Rider, they have a lot of love for, like, linguistic puns. Mm-hmm.
Occasionally I'll find a dub that finds an English pun that works similarly to the Japanese, but yeah.
Kind of close, at least.
This one just went straight to the third grade joke book.
While he is making King Kai laugh, I made note of Goku just shouting,
"Somebody stop me!"
Yes!
Which is a joke that has aged like a fine fucking wine.
Yeah, is that bottle just pure vinegar at this point?
It was very tasty. It went down smooth.
"Somebody stop me!" He was delivering these punchlines like literal attacks. Like the background would starburst behind him, and he's like, "Why the chicken cross the road?" And Kai's like blasted back by a key wave of humor.
I mean, that is the only way that Goku knows how to interact with other people. Like, yeah. It is either like
assault.
In a combative, yeah, assault type form, or it's eating.
Well,
those are the two modes: eat and fight.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he didn't even respond to any of King Kai's jokes until he realized that jokes can't kick you in the head.
That is what is holding the rest of them back. Tien Shinhan and those other guys, they could be as strong as Goku if all they had in their brains were eat and fight. They keep having to have, like, relationships with
people. If they weren't weighed down by, like, emotions and thoughts.
Yeah.
By this coil.
So Goku passes the first test of getting King Kai to laugh, sort of reluctantly, but it counts. And we learn that the gravity on King Kai's little planet is 10 times that of Earth.
Despite the planet being small, it must be very dense, because otherwise it would be lighter gravity. The moon.
We also learn that King Kai is, in fact, familiar with the Saiyans.
He says that the Saiyans that are arriving on Earth don't come any stronger than Nappa and Vegeta, which is fair, considering the rest of them are dead.
Yeah, by default, they win.
They literally do not come any stronger.
They don't come at all.
At all.
In any form, weaker, stronger, bigger, doesn't matter.
King Kai is able to track them with his antenna on top of his head. He's just like, "Oh yeah, there they are. They're on their way."
That antenna is going to be a very crucial plot device later on.
Throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much for the rest of the series.
Now, I have a newbie question.
Yeah.
At any point, is it explained that it's the planet Vegeta but Vegeta is one of the Saiyans?
Kinda.
The planet's Vegeta, but then there's also Prince Vegeta, who's our Vegeta, but then his dad is also named Vegeta.
Okay, so that's like the royalty name?
You know how roads are named after presidents?
They got a whole planet.
Okay, that was just bothering me. I didn't know why that was.
I mean, it still bothers me. It's just lazy is the real answer.
Their vegetable planet.
Goku has 88 days left before the Saiyans arrive on Earth to get some training in.
Important to remember, they're gonna pass real fast.
He had a year, he blew most of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he's got 88 left.
On Snake Way.
Well, he had to do Snake Way over as well.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, he had to do a chunk of it.
So the first task of Goku's training is pretty simple. He just has to catch bubbles.
Yeah, we've all caught a monkey before. It's not that hard.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been in his 50-pound shoes.
Now, Melissa, did Sailor Moon have a sequence where somebody caught a monkey?
Oh, man.
Did she get that training?
Because if not, I'm going to say point one Dragon Ball.
I feel like there must have been a monkey in there at some point. There's a circus in the fourth season as the main villains. So surely there's a monkey in there.
High proximity for monkeys.
Yeah, yeah. But no, most of her training comes from crying. So
seems good, too.
Follow-up question, does Tuxedo Mask count as a chimp?
Oof.
Hmm.
Got that tuxedo.
I wrote down something. The hierarchy of the Dragon Ball Z world does not make any sense to me, because King Kai says that the Saiyans are stronger than him, which seems like King Kai's a god, right? Like, I would think that that means he is on, like, his own tier.
Maybe he's a bad god.
Above the people who are not gods. Yeah, maybe he just sucks and most gods are stronger. but then they send Goku to him for training, not King Yama or... Yeah. I guess Goku has nothing more to get out of Kame's training.
Right, it's that old those who can't do teach kind of thing.
It's also, you gotta remember that the hierarchy of deities in this world is more like a bureaucracy.
Yeah, it does not equate to strength. Yeah. More often than not.
He's the god of jokes.
Yeah.
Did they say, like, what his domain is, if anything?
Not as of yet. We later find
out. They will eventually.
I mean, he's an aspiring comedian.
True. He's been working on it for centuries.
But basically, this is just part of his district.
They also don't warn him that anybody's coming.
True.
Nobody calls ahead.
Nobody says, like, hey, King Kai, there is a candidate on Snake Way, so maybe, I don't know, be out there to meet them so they don't make he doesn't make an idiot of himself following your monkey around.
Maybe get out of your car that's along the one road that wraps around the planet.
Or just get your flashcards out and dust those off and make sure you're ready to teach somebody when they show up.
Get that old curriculum squared away.
Like, he's taught one other person recently, which was King Yama. He has taught nobody since King Yama. So they have no idea what kind of state his shop is in.
So Goku attempts to try and catch this monkey, but the monkey is very fast, and Goku moves very slowly in this gravity. So what is there to be done? He starts to strip down, takes those weighted clothes off.
Those two little fivers.
It's always the two little fivers that are just weighing him down. And he does speed up a little bit, but it's still not quite enough. So his second mode, as Gordy has pointed out, well, he's got to eat something.
Yup.
Goku needs a snack to catch this monkey.
King Kai is a very good host. This fool shows up at his shop out of nowhere, and he's expected to just roll out a feast.
Yeah, he's got a lot of food for a guy that lives alone with a monkey.
What is his supply system?
I was going to say, he doesn't have anyone to deliver to him, for sure.
Maybe he sends Bubbles down Snake Way with some cash.
Yeah, it's Bubhub.
Yeah, just a monkey with a fistful of dollars.
Just doing his monkey run. Snake Way.
Uh-huh. Fistful of dollars, you say.
I love this image.
Of Bubbles starring in those very good Clint Eastwood movies.
A fistful of nanners.
They should remake. I think Del Toro should remake Fistful of Dollars. Starring Goku.
Have you ever emailed Del Toro? Because you have a lot of projects lined up for him.
Get that sucker on speed dial.
I should.
Like, you have his next 10 years plotted out for him.
If he didn't already have, like, his next 10 years planned out, I would have it.
I liked that Bubbles also took a little snack break while Goku was eating.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cute.
He was enjoying a tiny banana. I have a note here that Goku takes a massive hank of meat and then rapidly thumps his chest so it will go down.
I don't even think he enjoys eating.
No.
Truly.
It sounds and looks like a painful experience.
Yeah, he just needs it.
He only experiences life through pain.
This is true.
Goku, always the gracious guest, lets King Kai know. God. It tasted lousy, but at least I'm full.
What a fucking ingrate.
I love this character.
He's a real piece of work, this Goku, our hero.
He's not, like, smart or deft enough to lie.
It's as he's polishing off the last, as King Kai puts it in the dub, the last of the bean tacos.
Not the last sure of what the jelly donuts.
Yeah. I'm not sure what those are.
It just looked like a pork bun or something. King Kai lets Goku know his hobbies on this planet.
Oh my god. There are so many things to do on this planet. Could look at things.
Look at the grass. You could look at the sky. You could beat my monkey in a pissing contest. And drive in my car.
Down the one road.
It's a nice car.
It is. It is, in fact, a 1957 Chevrolet sedan Bel Air. I had that up.
You looked it up. I'm glad somebody did.
Yeah, thank you, Jason, for doing the due diligence.
That's the thing with the Toriyama. That fool loves drawing himself a vehicle every now and again, yeah?
He likes intricate machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Specifically motorcycles.
He and Miyazaki both.
We also learned that Planet Vegeta, the aforementioned Planet Vegeta, also has 10 times Earth gravity on it. So the Saiyans are used to training this way.
Kai says that this is the secret to their Saiyan power.
It's one of many.
All right. Also, apparently they can fight anywhere.
That's a thing worth noting about King Kai this week, is that he's kind of chock full of misinformation.
Yeah, there's a big one coming later.
We cut over to Big Green and his son, and Gohan is starting to get some good hits in. The training is progressing.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite Piccolo moments right here, where he knocks Gohan into the water, and Gohan basically asks, "Could you save me from drowning, Piccolo?" And Piccolo responds, "Don't be a spoiled brat." And knocks him back in.
Gohan also refers to Big Green as my Big Green uncle.
That's also really good.
It seems to hit a nerve with Piccolo, because he kind of ruminates on it for a while.
Big fan of this. Well, this is great, because this is when they're having like a campsite chat, and Piccolo is saying, "I'm only doing this so that the Earth isn't destroyed, so I can, you know, kill Goku or whatever. I can finally defeat Goku." And Gohan hauls him out immediately.
Nuh-uh, like, you're nice now.
You're, like, nice now.
The biggest insult.
Yep.
First off, I love little Gohan with his swollen face where he only has one eye.
Yeah,
The one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, his new tumor.
Yeah.
I wrote down Juice River.
What?
Because of the color scheme of this stream.
Yeah.
It's very purple.
Oh.
Is that just me?
The back of the fridge.
That's what's keeping the dinosaurs alive. I did also, I was curious, so I flipped back and forth on the language for that scene where he calls him his uncle. And he does not call him his uncle in Japanese. I'm sorry to report.
Uh-oh.
Aw. What does he call him?
But it's the same kind of thing. He says that Goku told him that Piccolo wasn't bad now, and Gohan says he agreed, but his mom and grandpa were scared of him. And that's apparently what offends Piccolo so much.
Ah, that he's on Chi-Chi's bad
scared
side.
Scared of him, I guess. So I don't know how to take that.
Well, he's starting to soften, so maybe he's starting to think about what people think of him.
Yeah, true.
And trying to change that image.
Mm-hmm.
I also think maybe he just thought to himself, who are they again?
The ox who now?
Ox?
Did she have the massive, like, blade helmet thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. With a laser in it.
Yeah.
Never explained.
Where'd that go?
Where'd it come from? We go back over to King Kai's planet, get the line, "You dim some, you lose some."
God.
Very good.
Pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Goku starts using his slightly larger than a monkey's brain to outsmart Bubbles by running the opposite direction.
He realizes that the planet is a tiny sphere.
I can use this to my advantage.
Those gears have been turning.
It only took him 3 weeks to concoct this plan.
He's just running full tilt.
So Goku has successfully conquered the gravity, and he catches Bubbles.
The Goku playing with Bubbles shows off one of my favorite aspects to Goku as a character.
Yeah.
Is you don't really see much in Z and beyond.
When he's tossing Bubbles afterwards, you mean?
Well, that and how, on his shoulders. Him catching Bubbles. And, it's that he combines clever tactics with like his playful nature in a unique way that you don't really see in most other shonen heroes.
And we definitely stop seeing him pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They try to bring it back a bit for Boo, but it's too late at that point, I think. The damage is done.
I just missed the playful Goku.
It was a really nice moment.
Chilling out in that tree, and he's like, blah!
Gotcha!
Luring Bubbles into a false state of confidence.
It was like a horror movie for a little bit, but for chimps. This act of catching Bubbles seems to really impress King Kai, because he thinks to himself, maybe he'll finally be the one to stop the Saiyans.
He did catch an ape.
Wait, why didn't he send Bubbles after the Saiyans?
No kidding.
King Kai says that training, I don't think we talked about this, training on his planet is the equivalent of thousands of years of training on Earth. For the 88 days that Goku will be there.
Yeah, don't worry about it only being 88 days. It'll be like a thousand years.
Yeah, that sounds wild to me. Huh. If they had gone with, like, it's 10 times the training.
Now,
like,
is this,
I'm totally with you there.
Is this before or after Goku is revealed that he is also a Saiyan?
Does he do that in this episode, or is that
the next
one?
I think it's the next one. Okay, no. It was this one, because he goes, it's okay, I'm a Saiyan too, when Kai's describing the gravity or whatever. Because
I was thinking, like, this is also on top of him saying this in by human standards, forgetting right. that, like, what would take thousands of years for a normal person will take Goku 1 week.
I've got, speaking of Buck Wild, I've got a bit of disturbing trivia I found about Bubbles.
Uh-oh.
According to the movie pamphlet for the movie Dragon Ball Z, The Tree of Might, Bubbles apparently has a power level of 1,000.
That is stronger than a lot of the Z fighters. They should definitely send that monkey down.
Again, yeah.
They should have sent an ape.
At least on recon.
Yeah.
Man, I'm bummed now that we never get the Bubbles-Gregory tag team fighting the Saiyans. That would have been great.
They could have taken down two Cybermen easy.
Any other closing thoughts for episode 19? Defying gravity.
Oh no, I do have a closing thought. It's the end of the Defying Gravity song.
And nobody, not numerous flaws, no Kamehamehamehas.
You had this ready. You had this ready.
I might have written some notes down. I might have musical thoughts. Why hasn't there been a Dragon Ball musical? Fuck.
That's a very good question. There's a Shrek musical.
Good point.
There's a Spider-Man musical.
There are both of those. I don't understand. Like, what does a Spider-Man musical have that a Dragon Ball Z musical wouldn't give you?
We can absolutely out-injure the Spider-Man musical.
Yes, everyone will be flying. Not just the one web boy. It's going to be everyone.
The audience.
The audience, they'll need to be.
You're in free fall.
They need to be so that the floor can crack and little stones can rise up when power levels go up.
Do you guys want a little Tyler Crowley real talk fan fiction corner here?
Oh, yeah, man. Go for it.
Hit me immediately.
As a kid, I did try to write some semblance of a Dragon Ball musical. At least a song.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Are you ready to perform that song?
It was when Weird Al released, I think, Running with Scissors, if that's the one with the Star Wars American Pie on it.
Yes, it is.
And it was around the same time that the History of Trunks special had come out. So I was also writing an American Pie parody about the History of Trunks. The only bit that I can recall right now, I had the lines, my, this here Capsule Corp guy, Super Saiyan, they'll be praying as his power grows high.
That's beautiful.
That rules.
Yeah, it's a good start.
That's all I've got in the recesses of my mind at this point, though.
Yeah, I would just write that down, send it to Lin-Manuel Miranda.
There's some merit to this idea, I think.
I think you need to work on pitching this, because I feel like this is an era where there's a lot of anime musicals going on.
I just saw that there are 3 Phoenix Wright musicals in Japan.
Oh, I'm
excited about that.
Are there really?
Has there ever been like a DBZ like live stage show thing over there?
I tried to track one down. There are definitely stage shows. I don't know about musicals.
Just as an aside, there were Sailor Moon musicals from 1993 to 2000. And then starting again in 2013, ending.
Any good
this
YouTube
year.
Rips?
Oh, yeah. And yes, I have watched most of them.
Yeah, this is one area where Sailor Moon completely dominates.
Oh, absolutely.
How are the production values? Was it a good time outside of just being Sailor Moon?
Well, are we talking about 1993 or are we talking about 2017?
I mean, let's start there. We can move up in time. Have they improved at least?
You might want to do yourself a favor and Google some of those 1993 shows just for the wigs alone.
Will do.
Yes.
They definitely learned some things about wigs and about costuming and about effects and such.
As long as we're all growing, that's yes, what process. It's all about.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I have seen a clip from the Haikyuu musical via volleyball anime, and it looks amazing. And I really want to see it.
Maybe it'll find its way to YouTube someday.
Oh, I hope.
In its entirety. All right, episode 20, English title is Goku's Ancestors. I don't have any musical jokes about this one.
No. The Japanese title translates to The Return of the Saiyan Legend, Goku's Roots.
Goku gets to move on to phase 2 of his training. Before we find out what it is, King Kai yells at the top of his lungs.
Does a big ol' holler.
Okay, this is a much better setup in the Japanese version. So in the dub, he just kind of yells out of nowhere and it goes around his little planet and comes back and he makes a joke about it being a long distance call. Which, I mean, in terms of the jokes that he's told so far, not the worst one.
His phone call jokes, yeah.
Yeah, but in the Japanese one, Goku's complaining, I think, about wanting to take a break. That's when King Kai yells, and when it comes back around, he says it can take a while to catch your breath.
That is pretty solid.
Yeah, that was...
That's way better.
That's a good one.
I would definitely go see Japanese King Kai stand up before Funimation's King Kai.
Yeah.
Given the options. What is part 2 of Goku's training?
Well, it's the same thing as part 1, only this time it involves a grasshopper man named Gregory and a mallet.
Now this is the only filler that we get this week, because technically, in the manga, Gregory does not exist.
No.
I wanted to talk a little bit about this, because they felt the need to add some filler to Goku's training to sort of extend it out. And then in a following episode, they skip the important part of the training, which they could have done as a filler episode.
Yep.
So this is just a curious choice to introduce this grasshopper that will exist for the rest of the show.
you mean when he learns certain important moves in
every move that he learns.
Yeah,
when he
does
learns
it off screen.
That move.
It's just bizarre. It's bizarre writing.
It's a bit of a blip of foresight.
Questionable decisions.
King Kai recognizes that Gregory should not exist in this canon, so he hands Goku a mallet and says, "Please smash my bug, son."
Go on, get him.
Swing as hard as you can.
Gregory covers himself in energy and he zips around and keeps bopping into Goku. This is actually sort of kind of training. They are kind of like sparring in their way.
He's got a move. Does he have a move on DBMoves.wiki.whatever?
Gregory?
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Type in that exact URL.
Can you play as Gregory in any of the video games?
I don't know if he's ever been playable.
Not that I can recall.
Gregory he's definitely been like a menu guy, like Navi.
He has like a move that I don't know that anybody else has. Like I can't remember. I can't be sure. But does his little move does it show up anywhere else?
Cover yourself in energy and fly around?
Yeah,
he just kind of covers himself with energy and just zips around like a fairy.
Birder does, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Ginyu Force.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently, according to the movie pamphlet from Tree of Might, he's got a power level of 1100.
I love that this is your source this week.
I take what I can.
The Tree of Might pamphlet.
I need numbers. I need canon.
Yeah,
need...
that's great.
someone needed to write some of this down.
I really like that Goku plays Street Fighter with King Kai's car.
Oh my god.
He goes in for a bonus round.
Oh, my car.
Smashes the shit out of that thing. Yeah, oh, my car. Exactly.
He just kind of immediately gives up. Doesn't even get mad, he just gets sad.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? The deed is done.
You can't get that towed to the nearest auto shop for at least another 10,000 years.
You just got to hitch it to Bubbles next time you send him out for takeout. Drop this off at the garage. We move over to Piccolo and Gohan, who are still hard at work. Gohan has learned to dodge.
Good job.
It took him how long?
20 episodes.
Yep.
And even longer in fiction time. Almost a year. His stamina meter's a lot bigger, but he still can't climb the mountain because he falls to the bottom and gets stuck there.
Piccolo is absolutely headed up to here with his kid whining.
Come on, Piccolo. Just let me out.
I don't blame him. It's not a good sound that he's hearing.
That is a trick of the trade for every kid. They all know that annoying voice will eventually get you what you're after.
I have the flip side report on that. In the Japanese version, instead of just whining for him to help, Gohan starts playing Shiritori, the word game you may have been familiar with from various other animes, where somebody says a word and then the next person has to say a word that starts with the same sound as the last word ended. And
so like an equally annoying tactic.
Yeah, well, he just says like 10 words in a row, and then and then after the 10th word is like, oh, he finishes the game. He like starts and finishes a game by himself.
Just by himself.
Yeah, and then says, okay, Piccolo, you're next.
Oh my god. That's so cool. We're missing so much context.
He's getting very dumb and dumber this week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm glad we have somebody watching the Japanese version.
I'm here for you.
The Z Warriors are still doing their training up top, just sparring with each other.
What is Yajirobe even doing here?
Well, we'll find out momentarily, but first, Chaozu notes that Tien and Yamcha seem about equal, which is kind of a weird slam on his best friend.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it made me really depressed.
You're slowing up there, Tien. Yeah, I'm just catching up. Shit.
This douchebag surfer baseball player's on par with you, and you didn't stop training.
They don't make a much of an effort to hide that these guys are kind of an afterthought. It's like, Goku's doing this, and also, the rest of them are there.
If you're interested, this is happening. Yajirobe's method of training is to bite Krillin's whole butthole.
I mean, Yajirobe also has... He has three modes, which are fight, eat, and lazy, I think.
Which one does butthole fit under?
It's...
Eat.
Okay.
For him, eat.
Devour.
Canon. Yeah.
Now, it's truly a bummer that we have this setup, but there's it's never quite a payoff. It's the whole bummer.
Yeah. I wonder if whole bummer is on Yajirobe's move list. It should be.
Well, no, for Yajirobe, it's probably like dynamite, kaboom, blam, ass eat, or something.
Is that an episode title?
Dynamite, kaboom, blam, ass eat?
Yeah, Yajirobe's are all, yeah, you're right, kablam. Something.
Goku is having some trouble getting a hit on Gregory. We're back on King Kai's planet. Mm-hmm. So he wants to take another snack break, and Gregory says, don't feed him.
Yeah.
Gregory knows.
Gregory has watched Dragon Ball before.
Don't feed him. He'll keep coming back.
It only makes him stronger.
And this nice little lunch break gives us an opportunity to take a flashback to Planet Vegeta.
I wish this didn't happen.
Planet Vegeta, you say?
King Kai decides to tell Goku the history of his people.
Yeah, tell me about it.
The all-knowing King Kai.
This fully factual, 100% canon, never gonna be retconned. History.
The man
Lay
who observes all things that happen in history.
The one who is responsible for every event in this galaxy.
First he needs King Kai's storytime chair, which Goku provides him.
That is nice of him.
It was very kind.
I'm right neighborly.
So, Planet Vegeta used to be the homeworld of a race of people called the Tuffles.
Tuffles, huh?
Tuffles.
This is kind of interesting because I thought that Tuffles is going to just be a play on truffles, right? Plot twist. They're not.
Is it the time machine that this is taken from? Is that it? H.G. Wells' time machine book where like there's the two there's the smart civilization and the dumb civilization?
Almost exactly, right?
Yeah. Like it is, they're not called Tuffles, but they might as well be.
So yeah, so it's the same for Saiyans and Tuffles, because it's Furutsu is the Japanese pronunciation of fruit, and it's Tsu Furu, so backwards, and then vegetable is Yasai. And Saiya is the Saiyans.
Ah, the Saiyans.
So it's the same for, they're both the Japanese word.
Just backwards.
Backwards, yeah. I'd been trying to find out how Saiyan played into the, like, vegetable.
Vegetable?
Thing.
Huh.
And it's, that's what it is.
So it used to be Fruit Planet, and it was a thriving cyber utopia.
Yes. Cyberpunk dreamland.
And then those damn vegetables came in.
Is this like a, like some kind of really gritty VeggieTale reboot?
It's a pre-boot.
Shucks.
The Saiyans...
Is it now?
Well, yeah, because it predates it.
Yeah, I love how the Saiyans here are, like, right outside the city walls in, like, these mud huts.
Caves.
And they're just, like, the angry cavemen from outer space.
The Tuffles do their best to hold off the Saiyans with their advanced tech. Unfortunately for them, once every 8 years, a full moon is seen on planet Vegeta.
This is a damn lunar calendar.
That's a long rotation.
So their whole city just gets rampaged by literally, like, 40 King Kongs at once. They did not foresee this.
Had they only been around for 8 years? Like,
actually, yeah, that's a good point. Do you think they should have seen that coming, right?
I mean,
if they were so technologically advanced, they should have a moon forecast.
And bunkers.
And know that the monkeys are outside every once in a while.
That seems pretty basic. Like, know when the moon does what.
We'll figure that out a long time ago.
I mean, they don't really have a choice in it, too.
Exactly. So the Saiyans manage to literally, like, wipe out all the Tuffles.
Yep.
In one go. But here's the catch. They're stuck on planet Vegeta now.
They're just dummos.
Because they're dummos with no sense of space travel. So what do they do? What can you do?
What do they do?
They kind of skip the step. And mm-hmm. like, because they do manage to get off planet. And to the
Arcosians.
The Arcosians. Yeah. Who are the Arcosians?
I don't think we ever hear about them again.
Nope.
Not that I can remember.
They have gas masks and, like, cloaks. Like, desert cloaks.
Were they not the bug people that Vegeta kills?
Those are the Arlians.
Ah. Yeah. Of which there was a terror on.
They are. I do see it listed in the Dragon Ball Wiki.
It's a Funimation-only name.
And they are presumably belonging to the Galactic Frieza Army.
This is how the Saiyans get roped into being subservient to Frieza. Is through this race of people.
Right. Who supply them with nifty battle armor and space travel.
But for real, though, how do they come in contact with them?
You know.
Maybe they never did. This could all just be King Kai lying.
Mm-hmm. We then cut to a very important part of Vegeta's history.
Yeah.
Which is when a random unnamed person...
Deity,
climbs to the top of the cliff and, beset by woe about how savage the Saiyans have become, dooms planet Vegeta by doing what? Summoning a bunch of meteors?
Mm-hmm. To blow up the planet he is god of.
Yeah, and on.
And also on.
So, that's an interesting bit of folklore.
Was this actually Frieza and King Kai just didn't want Goku to know?
I have no good reason narratively for why this is the case. I think I have a good one outside of the narrative.
Did Toei just not know about Frieza yet?
Toriyama didn't.
They weren't even that far in the manga yet.
I recall a couple of years ago for one of Dragon Ball's anniversaries, Toriyama did a special like Q&A comic of him in his little gas mask avatar guy.
His Arcosian.
Chatting up, right, his Arcosian form, chatting up Goku and then later Vegeta and Frieza. Sort of about the history of Dragon Ball, the manga. And Vegeta was supposed to die at the end of this story arc. Like, he was supposed to be the big bad of the story arc, and then Toriyama was going to move on. But he got really popular very fast with fans of the manga, so he kind of pulled an audible and invented a new, bigger bad guy. He changed his mind.
Okay.
Football term.
Sure.
Everybody here loves football, right?
I'll take your word for it.
I got that.
Yeah. I'm glad somebody had my back. Yeah, so he changed his mind, invented this new villain, and then sort of had to rewrite probably a lot of what he had decided already about the history to make Frieza a compelling villain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to reconcile it in the narrative, outside of King Kai just being senile, I guess.
This fits Toriyama's MO pretty pretty well.
Change his mind and don't look back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that quite often.
I'm a fan. I say stick to that.
So after this meteor shower that definitely happened,
mm-hmm.
only four Saiyans survived. Oh. And he tells Goku, and you're one of them. And Goku shouts, no!
I'm yeah. not a Saiyan.
Which is the part that you already knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really...
No, I think he actually said no because he's wrong in that he did not survive. He is, in fact, dead.
Oh. Well, yeah. He's got him there.
Yeah.
Good point.
Just no to these semantics.
To boil down what we did know, or what we do know at this point about the Saiyans, is that they were a savage race on their home planet. They took over as the dominant species and became space pirates that started sending their children to planets to wreck them up and then sell them to somebody yeah. for profit. And now there are only four left.
Two.
Soon right now, three. Only two.
Yeah.
Two and
that
a half.
Count, that, well, that count keeps going up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, they said Superman was the last Kryptonian for a pretty long time.
Oh, yeah. They changed their mind on that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, he has a cousin. Oh, actually, there's a general, and he's got, like, four people who work for him. Oh, actually, there's, like, two other Kryptonians and All-Star Superman. Oh, actually, you got a cousin from another dimension. Oh, actually, no, you're the last one.
Isn't there a new Krypton at some point?
Krypton, but to the left.
Right. Like, don't they start a new planet?
Sort of. We'll make another podcast for that discussion.
Yeah, enough okay. about that Superman story. I want to focus on this Superman story.
Right. Goku gets back to his training. He basically does the same exact trick on Gregory that he did on Bubbles.
Remembers that it is small.
Throwing the hammer after Gregory and then running in the opposite direction. And then there's a sweet slow-mo bop to the head.
Yeah, the bit that takes place right there is really cute. I'm not going to lie. With Gregory being like, yeah, I didn't even feel a thing. Ha ha ha. He's like, what's that lump on your head?
Shut up.
Gregory's like, what'd you do to me?
We learn that nobody has been able thus far to master the Kaioken technique.
The Kai what now?
The Kaioken.
Ah. This is the first time we're hearing about this.
It's a wild stallion of a technique that no one's been able to break.
He says it's like a horse that's too wild to ride.
Any significant differences in the Japanese sub, Melissa?
I did not notice.
Any reference to wild horses?
I did not notice. I'll check on that. I'll update you next week.
Please do. Vis-a-vis horses.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this episode ends, at least my last notes are, Baba, the fortune teller, and Roshi's sister.
Oh, yeah.
Not really relevant, but just good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Checks her magic ball to check the future of the planet Earth, and there is currently no future. Her little ball just says, check back later.
Outlook not clear.
Jason, this might be our only fashion this week.
Yeah, it's the only
Olma's
update.
Got a new outfit.
She does. She's moved on from the blazer. I mean, it has been a year.
It's time to change.
Yeah, she's got some kind of breezy beachwear going. She's got like a little... like a striped dress. She's got her hair back up in the ponytail.
The classic look.
Yeah, it feels like it's a callback to her original Dragon Ball outfit.
A little bit.
Yeah. And we also get a little preview as to where the Saiyans are cosmologically, geographically. They're passing by Jupiter.
Getting pretty close.
You all know how long it takes to travel from Jupiter to Earth, so...
Not 2 days.
Yeah.
2 days.
any closing thoughts on episode 20?
I liked seeing that King Kai was working on his car, that he's got those mechanic skills too.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention King Kai. King Kai says something about he has auto insurance. I made a note of that.
Yeah, why
does he really
have that?
Yeah, he says I hope my insurance covers this.
Apparently it didn't because he's fixing it himself.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to episode 21. The English title is Counting Down.
The Japanese title is Come Forth, Divine Dragon, the Saiyans finally arrive on Earth. Oh, well, that kind of gave it away, didn't it?
A little bit.
Mm. Anime does that a lot.
In case you want to skip it, just read the title.
One of my great, or one of my favorite recent examples for Dragon Ball specifically, towards the end of Dragon Ball Super, the Tournament of Power takes place where people are being knocked off of the stage as ringouts, mm-hmm. and that's the only way to sort of get them out of the tournament. and one of the episode titles is literally just Vegeta Falls.
Yeah.
Like, before you even watch the title, you know, like, oh, well, I guess he's done.
Well, that's enough of him.
Maybe he just tripped over something.
So here's what's alarming to me about this episode, is that all of the important training that King Kai said that Goku might be able to handle occurs mostly off-screen during the preview of this episode.
During the recap.
Yeah, recapping stuff we didn't see!
Yeah, I'm glad that we met Gregory, though, and learned the fake history of Planet Vegeta.
I think this might be the first, probably only time, that Goku learns a new technique off-screen.
Completely off-screen.
That's not true.
Oh.
He's always doing that. I could give you a list if you want.
Give me a couple.
The instant transmission.
And that it's not the last.
Right, he learns that off screen. Super Saiyan 3 learns that off screen.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's the first then.
Is the move actually called Super Saiyan 3?
Yep.
That's cool.
Because he goes Super Saiyan, and then there's Ascended Saiyan, colloquially known as Super Saiyan 2.
And then there's to go even further beyond.
Even further beyond.
Even further beyond!
Famously says to go even further beyond, and then literally just says, this is Super Saiyan 3. Just so you can keep track at home.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask about that later, but for now, what is Kaioken? Because it is it's a move we don't really see it at the start, but at the same time, it also really defines a lot of, like, Goku's strength and power and his multiplication skills.
Yeah, he's kicking himself for not helping Gohan with his math homework.
He knows how to times two and times three things a lot now. So what is it? He gets all kind of red and gets like an aura.
Yeah, the Kaioken technique is literally just an energy multiplier for him.
Okay, so it's just a burst of...
It increases his power level, but at the expense of his stamina and sort of health.
Yeah, he gets kind of weary.
Yeah, it's very fatiguing and draining whenever he uses it. So he's not supposed to go above... Well, we might hear next week. Like, I think King Kai specifically says, don't go above this number! So you know he's going to.
Precisely.
Because that's storytelling.
And part of Kaioken is a technique that we hear of the first time.
Yeah.
It's called the Spirit Bomb. Not to be confused with Yamcha's Spirit Ball, don't get it twisted.
Very different.
Quite different.
The Spirit Bomb is a technique where Goku sort of gathers energy from outside sources, living entities around him.
The plants.
In a certain vicinity.
The trees. The bugs.
All sorts of life. And apparently the sun.
Yeah, he throws that line out there, but that's never done. Ever.
Nope.
At all.
Don't accidentally suck up the sun with the Spirit Bomb.
Don't do that. So you're drawing all this energy together, and he says that you must form it into a ball with your hands. And then King Kai definitely tells Goku to don't use your eyes, feel it out, and then he lobs a massive brick at his head.
I have a note on this.
Yeah.
Based on what I understand from what we know later about the Spirit Bomb, it only destroys evil. Am I correct in this?
I think that comes from the ocean dub.
Oh, okay.
God, I hope that carries across, because that brick
I was really hoping it was
some...
I was really hoping it was just an evil brick.
I mean, we have our own canon to this show, so we can absolutely say that was an evil brick.
That brick,
I will give you that one.
That brick was used to break into a building once.
It was used to break into King Furry's palatial estate.
It's Bubbles' troubled backstory. He was a street urchin that King Kai found. He was a greaser that was just causing trouble around the galaxy, breaking shop windows and such. I think, like, I could be wrong. It might come up when we get to its use pretty soon.
No.
The fight against
that
the
brick was used to smuggle drugs, because King Kai does tell Goku, just be cool at one point.
Just be chill.
So he's clearly done drugs.
Are you a cop?
Are you a Saiyan? You have to tell me if you're a Saiyan, or otherwise it's entrapment.
Yeah, I think it was used in the ocean dub as a way to tell kids, like, don't worry, Gohan's not going to get hurt by the Spirit Bomb.
Okay.
It only does stuff to bad people.
It can judge people.
Yeah.
King Kai also notes that You gotta be real careful using that spirit bomb on Earth, because it's way bigger and there's way more plant life and stuff that you can absorb the energy from, so you could super mess up the planet if you make a wrong move.
It's a last-ditch effort sort of move.
Yeah, he specifically says, yeah, don't use it unless you gotta.
So King Kai made a little bit of a whoopso, because he forgot to factor in that Goku is going to need to run all the way back across Snake Way once he gets revived.
Which,
yeah, citing nobody's perfect.
I feel like there could have been a little bit of foreplanning here. I was thinking of alternate strats. Why don't you just, if Goku has to run all the way back Snake Way, why not just like do what he's been doing a couple times and just eat shit, go to hell, and then take that back door again and wind up in the little drawer, right?
I brought up the same thing, and I think, Gordy, you mentioned like it's probably equidistant.
You think?
Like hell as a zone sort of spans the entirety of Snake Way anyway.
Okay.
I would think so. I mean, I have no idea. But like, he would have to travel inside hell to get back to the shortcut.
We have to believe that to maintain our own sanity.
Right.
I certainly choose to believe it.
Because Goku does not take this path. He decides to take the long Snake Way back.
They worked really hard on those backgrounds for Snake Way, and they just want to make sure they get used.
This is the victory lap for Snake Way. Mm-hmm. I know that I am sort of an anxious person when it comes to being places on time. Like, I like to get there early, or even like scope it out a day ahead of time, just to make sure I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me so anxious that they decided to cut it so close with their training that they could be off by a day and it would ruin everything.
It's very stressful to think about. Like, I would give them an extra day. It's like, just in case something happens, you just don't know.
It is kind of implied that he only just like yesterday learned the spirit bomb.
Right.
Because he's still not quite used to using it.
So Goku needs to get revived by the Dragon Balls. Mm-hmm. He needs to get in touch with Master Roshi.
How does he do that, Tyler?
He talks to him telepathically by pressing on the back of King Kai's shoulder.
Mm, yes, the walkie-talkie like making chakra.
Right, exactly. And he catches Roshi jacking it on the toilet.
Wait, is that what he's doing?
He's got that lady magazine. What else is he doing?
I thought that was like purely for something to do while he takes a dump.
Also, when doesn't he have that magazine?
It's like a security blanket for him.
I read the cover of that magazine. That magazine is called, quote, Lewd Video Magazine.
It could just be at this point that he's so, like, desensitized to, like, lurid material that he just is bored and looking at it while he's having a toilet time.
It's Roshi's ani manga of his favorite porno.
In the Japanese version, he does make a comment about a sexy lady while he's looking at it. Before that call comes in.
You can't hide from us, Roshi. We know what's going on.
We're still not done with this kind of humor, apparently, in this show.
Melissa, does that maintain for the rest of this sequence, or do they switch over to poo jokes like America does?
Yeah.
No, the sequence is pretty straightforward from then on. I like they play that angle of him just talking to himself in the in the bathroom.
In the dub, I don't know, I didn't take down specific quotes, if any of you guys did, but we just cut to a lot of, like, Roshi. We see the outside of the bathroom door, and Bulma and the gang are looking in and just hearing Roshi going, "Oh, what a relief," referring to Goku returning soon.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of poop illusions.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like Roshi talking to himself on the toilet would be a lot more of a common occurrence than it is implied.
He, at the end of this all, this sequence, he rushes out, his pants still down, and very frantically is telling them that they need to revive Goku. And I made note that without any context, it just seems like he has lost his mind finally.
He says, "Get the Dragon Balls, I just talked to Goku." And I'm starting to think, like, talk to Goku is a new euphemism that I'm not familiar with.
That's what he's been saying for the past year to cover his tracks.
Bulma, can you pull over? I need to talk to Goku.
Oh. It's not a good thought.
Psychically damaging. King Kai, though, is not enjoying this this little tete-a-tete psychically.
Yeah, Goku gets a little too into it.
Sort of just, like, slams him into the ground somehow.
Yeah. I got the impression that, like, he was that Goku was thinking too hard through Kai, and like that was causing him pressure.
I think he was literally just pushing forward without realizing.
Yeah, yeah, pressing just shoving his face into the dirt
where it belongs. No.
We move over to Gohan and Big Green, still training, and Gohan is really starting to get the jump on Piccolo, who ends up eye-beaming Gohan out of reflex.
Yeah, you promised no eye-beams.
Gohan claims that he cheated, and Piccolo plays it off as another lesson.
Yeah.
Never believe an enemy.
Yeah, Piccolo's absolutely trying to cover his tracks.
I mean, he does a decent job of it. He has a recent example of that advice from... when Goku lets Raditz go.
Like your fucking father.
Yes, don't be like your idiot dad.
And that seems fair.
The dragon gets summoned. This is Gohan's first time in his life seeing the dragon get summoned, I guess.
Well, he's off in the field somewhere, and I made a note that his costume changed without any fanfare.
He gets his Piccolo duds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Switches out of the old gi. Jason, how do you feel about this fashion?
Have you talked about
Piccolo's fashion? I don't remember.
It's great. I think it's kind of interesting how we see Gohan, as he develops, we see all these different variations on wearing Piccolo's garb, and across, like, five different haircuts, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's kind of interesting. It shows his growth, and it shows his, like, growing attachment to Piccolo as, like, a mentor and a tutor. In the same way that Goku wears, and Krillin and Yamcha all wear the same gi belonging to the Turtle School, right?
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, Gohan is the one student of the school of Piccolo.
The demon school.
I mean, he's got to start somewhere. He'll be of turtle fame before anybody knows it.
Well, also, Goku got an update to his fashion as well.
That's true.
King Kai gave him some new duds. So his symbols have changed. That the King Kai symbol's on the back. And his old turtle school symbol is still on the front.
I like that King Kai decided to give himself the big one.
Well, you know.
You can keep that old shitty one on the front.
I
get
brag.
The big one.
Goku is a very gracious boy in the dub and a very rude boy in the Japanese version.
Really?
How so?
Because in the dub, he looks at the front and he says, "Oh, I'd hoped that I'd have your mark on it." And King Kai says, "Look on the back," and he does. In the Japanese version, he looks at it. And he says, "Oh, good, I'm glad that my clothes aren't ugly like yours." And then...
Wow!
And then King Kai makes a comment about the most important symbol being on the back or something. And Goku says yes, and kind of turns, but it's implied that he doesn't see it.
That's just a mug for the audience?
Yeah, it's just
basically
King Kai's little, like, kick me sign on Goku's back.
Oh, I mean, that fits the joking nature, I guess. So, we talked about it, I think, a little bit last time when Piccolo mentions to Gohan that they have 3 months left to start training. Mm. And we were like, well, that's kind of weird. Didn't he plan on 6 months?
Yeah.
And then we were like, well, maybe we just skipped 3 months. They just didn't show it on screen.
Nah.
But I think Piccolo's just bad at keeping track of time.
All these characters are. God. Because
this week he's like, oh, shit, was that today?
The
Saiyans are here, huh?
It's like, oh, they must be here any minute.
He does spend a lot of time just alone in a mountain, so...
Yeah.
He's out in the break wasteland.
He spends all of his time looking for good winds that blow his cloak in a dramatic fashion.
Yeah. Need to get maximum flutter.
The Saiyans do indeed crash land on planet Earth, and they hit, like, one of the four cities that exist.
Lucky.
I mean, they do want to destroy stuff, so maybe they did plan it that way.
It's possible.
And miraculously, the oxygen on Earth has changed Vegeta's colors.
Yeah, they're back to the...
To good.
The canon.
To palatable.
Good is an opinion.
I have an interesting note here.
Yeah.
If we can jump back just a hot minute to the summoning of the Dragon Shenron. By the way, the first canon summoning and showing of this great dragon...
For Z, yeah.
For Z, specifically. And Oolong makes a really great point. He says, why don't we just wish the Saiyans to be dead?
Yeah.
Bulma's like, come on, Oolong, that's really cruel. He's like, Oolong's like, we can just wish Goku back next time. We can get those Dragon Balls back immediately. But Shenron says, nope, can't do it. He says he's made by the Guardian Kami, and he cannot grant a wish that exceeds Kami's power. He can bring back Goku, so, hey.
within Kami's power. Yeah, I think this comes up every single time they wish on the Dragon Balls. Like, why don't we solve our problem with this? And typically it's Goku saying, no, I want to fight the problem.
But Goku isn't here to say that.
Right.
So instead it's Shenron.
Shenron
going,
has to make up some bullshit.
It's like, can't fucking do it. Sorry. What's interesting is that Goku's halo disappears when he is brought back to life while existing in heaven.
He's just physical now.
Yeah.
Death is, like, so meaningless in the series that they don't even try to make it seem like it matters.
Death?
Like, the thing that is separating alive people from dead ones is that they have halos.
Yeah, there's just a ring.
That is, yeah, it's basically it.
They can still punch and beam each other all they want.
I think it is also kind of implied that heaven is a physical place you could just go to.
Well, you know, no, that's worth. You say heaven's a place on Earth.
The end of this episode is Piccolo and Vegeta noticing each other's power levels across the planet, and every other Z fighter on Earth shitting their pants.
Going, oh, that's them. Oh, boy.
Today's the day, huh?
Oh, I have a note here that says, I love the little flying noises these Saiyans are making when they're hovering. Because it's full on Jetsons hover sci-fi, like...
I didn't notice that.
That's Tuffle technology.
Yeah, clearly.
Special hover boots. From the Button Factory.
Yeah.
I love that the Saiyans get out of the pause and they just pose menacingly.
Mm-hmm. And what's even more special is that before the Saiyans arrive, we get a few really long, lingering, like, establishing shots of normal people going about their day just to let you, the audience, know that shit is about to get real topsy-turvy real yep. quick. And
take
I made a note.
Good look at all the people who are about to die.
Take a good look at this dad getting lunch with his kid.
That's their last lunch.
Looking at his very fancy watch, which they decided to zoom in real close on. And by the way, just wanted to let y'all know, the Saiyans arrived on a Sunday.
Really?
According to that watch. They arrive on a double Sunday.
Any other closing thoughts for episode 21?
I'm just raring.
Yeah, next week we really get into it. For a little bit, and then it cools down again. That's kind of the ebb and flow of this show.
Yeah.
It's that interest curve.
Well, before we say goodbye for another week, how about we hail Satan? What's going on with Satan? Hercule Mark Satan, as we know him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the end of this, shortly after the end of this, he will know what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he will be aware of...
that something is happening.
Like, yeah, Saiyans are here. They are a thing.
News
and
reports
so
will be going out, yeah.
It is maybe... Is that a motivating factor for him?
I think
could
so.
Be.
I think... I made
Does he feel left out at this point?
He wants
it's like,
to
oh man,
reaction.
Like if I had just trained harder, I could have been in on this.
I could have done a thing.
Yeah.
Jason and Matt, where did we leave him last week?
We established some rivals for him in the Nation of Damnation.
Another group in the same dojo, but a rival group.
I would say they are objectively better than him in every way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that this is the first episode of Hail Satan where not Yamcha from the previous episode arrives at the dojo.
Piccolo?
Yeah,
Piccolo?
Yeah, that...
I already forgot his name.
Well, his name's not Yamcha, that's the thing.
The young orphan boy who stole a car is one of Mr. Satan's wards now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
good to know.
He got into the school and easily paid his fees by, I don't know, robbing someone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's like,
he does that a lot.
Yeah, he's like, earn my dues like in the adult film industry like Mr. Satan here? No. I'm just gonna skip the middleman and just like full on a grand larceny.
And you know Mark, he's looking at that kid like he is onto something.
He abandoned a bunch of orphans when they needed him most.
He's got some know-how.
He's got the makings of a Satan.
Now I have a few characters that we have neglected to mention yet, and I just wanted to remind everybody about them. So when Hercule shows up in the show, he has two fighters in tow with him, Kuroni and Piroshki.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
And has his agent, Miss Pizza.
Yeah. A
little less subtle on the Miss Pizza.
I'm a
Where
big
fan. Where did she get her name from?
Yeah, I'm not sure why the Satan Dojo, the naming scheme is Italian foods, but that's what they went with.
You gotta, so Not Yamcha yeah. comes in, and Mark takes one look at him and goes, your name's Cannoli.
Yes. I'm also happy that we chose to do things like base a character off of The Rock, because these three characters are very blatantly based off of wrestlers themselves. Piroshki is like straight up Big Van Vader, except blue. Miss Pizza is just Miss Elizabeth, but with red hair instead of brown hair. And Caroni, he's less direct than the other two, but he's kind of like Shawn Michaels-esque.
Did he and Vega go to the same?
Yeah, I was like, about to say.
Yeah, he's more of just
Dojo,
the pretty boy archetype.
Yeah. He's the Panther Caruso of this gang.
I wanted to bring up Miss Pizza specifically because
I'm sure you did.
She absolutely did have an affair that caused Mr. Satan's divorce mm-hmm. from Videl's mother.
Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely, 100%.
He was running around.
Yeah, Auntie Pizza came over to visit one too many times.
Oh my goodness.
Those yellow eyes, that's a choice.
It is it's a strong choice.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, you had some thoughts on where to take Satan this week.
Oh, yes. Since we based Mark's rival group, the Nation of Damnation, off of the Nation of Domination, I recalled that, well, one of their main rivals was DX. Hercule has a lot in common with Triple H, and so we've got a Shawn Michaels right here. These guys are basically his DX.
And how does that factor into the narrative of Dragon Ball?
Well, he's gonna get his, like, bunch of jobbers and losers, and they're gonna make a stand against the Nation of Damnation.
And they're just gonna, a real shit crew.
Yeah.
That nobody believes in, and rightly so.
And they're going to get their asses kicked to them pretty hard.
Pretty regularly.
At least for now.
I don't have too much on Hercule Satan this week. I have thoughts on him next week, but I need to save those for now.
But yeah, I would say this week he's got his crew together, and they're like, we're going to stand up to you, you Nation of Damnation, and then they're going to get immediately just kicked around.
I had a theory that the different training levels that you have to go through are based on the different circles of hell and their various punishments. So maybe it could be like...
You want to revisit that?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe today could be Lust Day. And the punishment for those condemned to the Circle of Lust is to be blown about by these crazy winds. So my theory, massive, he has to train inside that weird, like, skydiving parachute wind tunnel thing that you'll see. He's got to do some very, very astounding kicks.
In an aerodome?
Yep.
We don't really have a dragon radar because they just scattered.
That's
what we know.
Dragon radar, they're everywhere now.
They went all over again.
The balls claim another.
Oh, I actually had a note I completely forgot to mention. And that when they summoned the dragon, at first I found it odd that Roshi Bulma and Oolong were so afraid of Shenron. But then I realized it had been over a decade since they last summoned him, and even then they've personally seen him no more than twice each.
Right. It's an imposing figure regardless of how many times you've run into him.
Hmm. Yeah, well, eventually they get to like, all right, hey, Shenron, what's up?
First name basis.
Yeah. Hey, Shen.
But now they're like shaking in their boots like, oh, mighty Shenron.
The mighty dragon.
I mean, that is the appropriate response, I think.
Shenron
just shows up. Oh, good, it's you fucks again. Who do you want me to kill or not kill?
You want some more panties?
Who am I unkilling this time? Who wants to be taller? Stop wasting my fucking time. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Destructo Discourse. Thank you all for joining me again. Melissa, where can we find you on the internet?
I am on the tweets and the instas and the tumbles at Kristaia, KRISTAIA.
Jason, where can people find you around the internet?
On the internet, you can find me at my Twitter and my Tumblr, which is JCavs, both. That's JAYCALVES.
Matt, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitter at Monumentus Matt.
Gordy, how about yourself?
can find me on Twitter at Gordon Murphy DEV. And then, do you want to? Should I plug the thing, or should you plug the thing?
I've been doing it while you've been gone, but you can take it.
Okay.
Again.
Yeah, Tyler and I do another podcast about weird folklore and fairy tales called What the Folklore, which you, if you're interested, you can find it on any major, you know, dispensary
podcast
of podcasts.
Service.
Yeah, wherever you
any
get
sort
your
of podcast trough that you find on the internet.
Where, yeah, wherever you happen to find them lying around, you can get it.
It comes out every Tuesday and Sunday. As for me, you can now follow this show at destructo_disc, DISC, on Twitter. And you can also email the show at destructodiscourse@gmail.com with any comments, concerns, critiques, etc. And if you would be so kind to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or the other podcast troughs, I would appreciate that. I do ask troughs. Specifically... that you you give us a 4-star review. Why is that, Jason?
It is the 4-star ball. It is the Gohan. Give us,
give
the,
us
Gohan.
The Gohans.
Give us the Gohans.
We will catch you all next week with 3 more episodes of Dragon Ball Z. Until next time, this is Destructo Discourse.
Never turns to day. Don't you be afraid, he'll fly away. Chala, chala. No time to hesitate. Don't want to search the earth. We're driven by the magic surprise. Oh. Chala, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through the night. Chala, hey, chala. No time.